Three, two, one. Manager Mike Littlewood, you've won two in a row now, and it turned out to be a pretty good showing last night against Feather River.
Yeah, we played very well last night. I thought we came out after the long trip and after the hard day and a half of travel. I thought we came out swinging the bats very well, 15 or 16 hits, played great defense, and got real key pitching. Brian, what we talked about exactly, we were keeping him on a pitch count. He threw about 85 pitches, and I was pretty accurate on the innings pitch because he went about five innings, and he's a guy that'll do that. He'll throw a lot of pitches, and he wasn't really getting the low strike last night. He was throwing the ball down around the knees and what I thought were strikes, and just wasn't getting those. And again, a little bit frustrated with the umpiring. It was a little inconsistent. The strike zone was a little inconsistent, I thought, but. Jason Cena came in and did a nice job for us. He was probably the key to the win, got the win. And then Pachota comes in and gives us four outs and does a real nice job. Got in a couple jams, but started. He thought he'd had dead arm, which, for a pitcher, it's not sore. It just doesn't feel like you've got anything on it. And then you overcompensate and try to throw harder. He said he feels like he's coming out of that. So it was a good day overall.
In fact, that was the wildest outing that he has had, walking three batters in one outing.
Yeah, and you look at it, too. He was throwing a lot of balls right down on the knees, and balls that – and you'll never see Mark complain on the mound. He's a veteran and knows that if you do that, the umpire's probably going to tighten up on you, especially the guy last night that was behind the plate. He's the kind that will do that. So he just got the ball back and kept throwing, and with bases loaded to Garcia, threw three balls that he fouled off with full count and then came back and got him to fly out to right. And that was a key at-bat right there. A double there ties it up, or a base hit, puts him one down. So we did a good job. I thought one of the key at-bats was when Trippi got on base and stole third. And they made a bad play at home, two outs and the ball's hit back the pitcher. All he had to do was throw Belk out. And he throws the catcher and he throws it away. But the key there was stealing third. They just kind of gave us third base, and Joe took advantage of it. He was on a green light, which means he can go whenever he wants. And it happened to pay off for us right there. On the other hand, if he gets thrown out with Tim Belk at the plate, you don't want that. But it worked out well for us.
There's a whole bunch of guys we can talk about. We mentioned Mark. Let's move back one more pitcher, Jason Cena. Why the difference now? He's had three pretty good outings after that shaky first.
I think you can attribute it to confidence. I think, obviously, the first time you come in and you're home, he was a little shaky and almost just scared and wide-eyed. First professional outing against some pretty good hitters. And just, made a bad pitch to a ex-major leaguer in Dax Jones, and he made him pay. And he did that back-to-back nights, but or the same time in the series. But right now it looks like he's spotting his curveball a lot better, throwing it for strikes when he wants to and throwing it for a ball when he has to. And then it makes his 80-mile-an-hour fastball look a lot harder than it really is. So that was a key 2 1/3 or whatever innings he threw for us, 2 2/3. I thought that was real key for us.
I noticed in the middle of that you went out and visited with him, and it looked like you were talking with him about not shaking off the catcher.
Well, that's one thing I was talking to him. Another thing I was talking to him about is being tentative. He walks a guy or a guy gets a hit, and then he kind of reverts back to being tentative and trying to be tricky with him. And we talked about this earlier yesterday on the pregame show, that with this team you just need to go at them. If they hit a home run, they hit a home run. But they don't have the hitters in the lineup, and I don't want to jinx myself, but they don't have the hitters in the lineup where they're going to get four or five base hits in a row. So you have to be aggressive with them. Let them hit into double plays. Let them pop out. The good hitters you might want to be a little bit careful with. But, I just went out and told him you need to be aggressive here. Throw it right to where Chris's glove's at, and don't try to trick him. Don't try to bounce your fastball or your curveball at 58 feet. Throw it 60 feet and throw a first strike and let them see if they can hit it.
Brian Mazzone, let's move back to the starting pitcher now. He ends up with two shots hit right back at him.
He did. Brian didn't have his best stuff last night, and that's probably normal. I think he was real excited when he came in relief, and he knew he was only going to throw a couple innings, and so he kind of turned it loose. I think yesterday he came out and was trying to pace himself, and so he didn't really have – he was throwing his fastball 85 to 87. In Chico, he was probably around 87, 88, which makes a big difference. And so with that, with the lack of the velocity on his fastball, throwing, not having a great spot, I think what happened is he wasn't getting that low pitch, so he felt like he had to come up. He did that to Drizos. And Drizos made him pay for it. If he gets that low strike, then he's going to consistently stay there. If he doesn't, he's going to probably move up a little bit to try to compensate for that umpire's strike zone. He did it last night and calls one of his better friends and hits it off his leg. And I went out there one time and I said, all we need to do is wipe that target off your back and you might be all right. But, I didn't hit him in bad spots. I hit him in the thigh. If you don't want to, call getting hit by a baseball coming back at 90 too bad. But that's probably what a hitter feels like. Now he knows what a hitter feels like getting hit by a pitch.
And Chris Gall is an old San Diego University grad. He hits him well. He got a double off of him, too.
I think what Gall knows is that he's not going to be wild. He's going to be around the zone. And I've talked to Brian about that. If he faces him again, he needs to probably throw him way inside. Maybe even nick him on the leg or something to let him know that maybe I don't have my best control today, and get these guys on their toes a little bit. The hitters will really feel comfortable if you go two or three innings, and you're so much around the zone. That's what happens with Mike Smith. But Mike Smith, you'll notice today he'll probably go high and tight or go way in on somebody, and he's going to do that on purpose, just to show them that if he wants to throw it inside, he can throw it inside, and he's not just going to throw it around the plate every single time. Because if you do that and you try to hit the outside corner every single time, hitters are going to start leaning out over the plate and start feeling comfortable. So you'll see Mike probably go inside a little bit and kind of establish the plate that it's his own plate.
Let's talk about a couple of the Feather River hitters. Justin Rizos, he's on a hot spell right now, got a home run last night, almost hit another one. And Arnie Chavera, who's been hitting the ball well, but you handled him last night.
I think with Drizos is, Drizos is being more aggressive than he was early in the year. And I think with when I went out to talk to, I think it was Brian, maybe in the fifth inning, when Melendez was up with a guy on and we had a one or two run lead, I said, let's make sure that we go right at Melendez. Make Melendez hurt us with two outs and not Drizos. We don't want Drizos to hurt us because he's swinging it. Melendez ends up grounding out. I'd much rather have Drizos up with leading off an inning than I would with guys on second and third and two outs. So it worked out well there. Chavera, I think we just found a weakness in him in throwing curveballs out of the zone. I think he's probably susceptible to that a little bit. And if we can keep doing that and throwing curveballs out of the zone, that's what we're going to do. I called three straight curveballs against him, and he was out. Very simple. I mean, and Jason did the good job of just throwing it and letting it bounce on the plate. Those are the times when you need to know whether to bounce it on the plate or throw it for a strike. He let off bouncing one on the plate, bouncing two on the plate, bouncing three on the plate, and Chavera was done. So, there's a reason why these guys are here. That's probably the reason why Arnie's here, is a lack of ability to hit that curveball. And it took us a while to find that out, but we did, and we'll keep throwing him until he proves he can hit it.
Mentioned Drizos, first shot against Cena, he almost hits the thing out. Tim Belk makes a good play in right field, and Belk made another great play robbing Melendez a little later.
He did in right center, and it looks like his ankle's fine. I talked to him last night and said, is your ankle okay? And he said, it's not going to get better, not going to get worse. It's just, it's like a putter. We call him putter because it's stiff. It's not going to move. You could putt with that thing. And he did. He said the Drizos ball got almost above the fence and just dropped straight down. The wind was blowing in last night, most of the night, which probably helped us on that fly ball. And the one he hit before that for a home run, I thought was way out and just maybe hit 10 feet over the fence.
Let's talk about Robert Merrill. He is hitting the ball now, had a home run last night, almost had another home run and when you sent the runners.
Yeah, he, that ball right there, the wind's blowing straight in, so it was hooking on him a little bit. It started out 35 feet fair and just kept hooking and ended up about 15 feet foul. But Robert looks like he's just sitting back and not trying too hard. He's not pressing. Looked good in BP today, just getting the fat part of the bat on the ball. And so that's good to see. We need him swinging it in our lineup.
We'll be back and talk about tonight's game and look ahead to what's happening in the rest of this series after this timeout. Three, two, one. Manager Mike Littlewood, before we get to tonight's ball game and the rest of this Feather River series, this is a very special day of celebration that you and your wife would be celebrating if you were together.
That's right. It's our 15th anniversary, so I want to make sure I said happy anniversary to Danny at home. And I've talked to her today, so thanks. I appreciate that. Happy anniversary.
I've got to find out a little background. High school sweethearts, or was it pre-high school?
Well, actually we knew each other when I was in third grade. She was in second grade. So we lived probably a mile from each other all the way through, and and got to know each other more at Benyon Junior High School, and so it goes way back. And you know, we weren't going steady or anything in second and third grade. You know, probably played on the playground a little bit, but we were going out all through high school, and just one of those things that we knew each other real well and got married young, and it's worked out. It's been great.
For the romantics in the audience, when did it click to say, hey, I'm going to ask Dandy to marry me?
You know, to tell you the truth, I think we were sitting in church one day, and I was a freshman at BYU, and I would come home every single weekend, and we were just sitting there, and we just said, we ought to just get married. You know, it was one of those things. I mean, so I'd hate to burst any bubbles out there and make anybody feel bad that I'm not a true romantic, and Dandy would be the first one that knows that. But it was just kind of that, and, you know, maybe sometimes that's better. We both kind of, I guess, knew it was right, and we just did it, and so it's, you know, it's been, what, 20-something years that we've known each other, and we're not that old, really, so it's been great, and we got four great kids out of it, too.
15 years of marriage now. Your oldest one just turned 13, so now you're a father of a teenager.
Yeah, amazing. I can't believe it. It's just, you know, it seems like yesterday we were getting in a wreck on the way to the temple on our wedding day. We got in an accident, and, you know, it just seems like the time flies, especially when you have kids, and obviously you know that, but they grow like weeds and sprout up, and I'm looking at trying to buy a car for somebody now, you know, in a couple of years, and that's amazing to think of.
It's amazing what happens with fatherhood, we can understand that. Now, we better get back to Feather River a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about one other hitter that did very well last night, Heath Hayes. He looks like he's on a hot spell again.
We've seen that Heath is going to be hot and cold. If he gets his pitches to hit, he's gonna take the same swing all the time. Some nights he's gonna see it well, and some nights he's not. But we're gonna just keep him at six hole and let him just go battle for us. And again, we talked about more than anything, it's the presence with the home run numbers, 8 or 9 or whatever he has, and you know, just the presence of being in AAA. People are gonna show him respect, which means they're gonna have to pitch Rod tough, and they don't want to pitch to Rod, so that, you know, it just kind of goes down a line from Robert to Tim to Rod to Heath, and then you have DG coming back behind him, and Briones is swinging the bat really well right now with a lot of confidence, and Freddie's just always a guy who, you know, see, you look at our lineup, and I think we've got one of the most one of the best lineups in the league, you know, but we've got a team that we can go cold and we can be hot. It's not one of those teams that's going to be steady for a month, and we know that. And so you just kind of have to battle through those times, and hopefully we'll keep swinging it tonight.
We've got to mention Chris Briones, you bring that up. 5 runs batted in last night, got hit by a pitch, hits 4 shots, one of which happens to be grabbed by the first baseman.
Yeah, Melendez just happened to be 6'8 right there and was hit right at him. And, you know, probably would have been a double. And you know, Chris is swinging the bat with a little confidence. He's got his girlfriend Aubrey up here, and maybe that's a little bit of a she traveled up from St. George and staying with friends a little while away. But she, you know, maybe something is there to give him that little extra boost. You never know with these guys when you get in the hot heat, dead heat of the summer, and you're just kind of going through every single day. Anything that's going to lift your spirits a little bit might help you swing the bat, or you know, just never know. But we'll sure take Chris swinging the bat like he is.
Let's talk about the matchup tonight. Mike Smith, who threw a shutout last time he faced Feather River. Phil Hagler, who has had some good outings against you already this year.
Yeah, he's a good pitcher, and you know, a lot of guys on our team know him, and I've seen him. Nate Yeske played with him in the minor leagues, and you know, he's got a good fastball. He's got a good cutter. His breaking pitch is very average, and I think that's what we need to take advantage of. Make him throw that breaking pitch in the zone. If he throws it in the zone, take a good swing at it and leave the curveballs and the sliders out of the zone. But when we get a fastball in the zone too, just go ahead and go after that, because he's not going to trick us, I don't think, too much with his curveball or his off-speed stuff. He's pretty much going to go right at us. And, you know, we're going to catch Heath Hayes tonight. His ankle's feeling a little bit better. And so he and Smitty worked in Chico. I thought they did a nice job together. And it's a perfect game to get Heath back there and see what they can kind of do together.
The matchup with Feather River. Now you're in a ballpark where you've roughed up some of their relief pitchers, and they've struggled. They've had some good relief pitchers, but it hasn't been a consistent effort out of the bullpen for them.
Well, I know right now they just got done after last night. You know, they used a couple guys and they played Chico 3 games before. And Chico's a team that can really take a toll on your bullpen. I don't know who had thrown for him. It's hard, you know, I haven't seen the box scores or anything, but I would imagine from who they used last night, they probably didn't have anybody to use. They'll probably be more refreshed tonight, and maybe not. Maybe they had to use their bullpen a lot against Chico, but always following Chico is nice to come in to play somebody because you know their pen's going to be a little bit light. Chico's a team that just swings a bat up and down the lineup, and they're going to take a toll on your pitching staff. I thought we got out of Chico a little bit. We got a win, and we got out of there not in too bad shape with our pitching staff, and was able to actually come in here pretty darn fresh.
The key tonight against Feather River, what's going to be the key for the Pioneers?
I think, Mike's going to give us a good game. We know that. And just carry the confidence in to play the same way we've been playing the last couple nights and carry the confidence of knowing that when you step on the field, you're going to win. Keep that same attitude going. We've got a great attitude right now. Believe it or not, the guys are really talking about the series at home. We want to come in there and play Sonoma real well and win the series, if not sweep them. They're a team right now that we don't want to win that second half. Just probably for personal reasons, keep those guys out of there for no other reason.
I know there have been some roster changes that are popping up now. You've added another pitcher. Has that been official now?
Yeah, Matt Rubel, who just was released from Ottawa, is going to come in. Former big league pitcher, left-handed guy who's going to come out of the pen for us. We've released Steve Cook. We're letting him go home and take care of some business back home. And so Mike Smith and Mark Pesciotta have been helping me. Especially Mark Pesciotta has been really helping me a lot with the guys in the pen, watching their side work, which is important to keep an eye on those guys, making sure, like Jason Chivers hasn't thrown a lot in the last week and a half, so making sure he gets his side work and getting his work done is important for him, and Mark's been kind of overseeing that. And so we'll kind of put a team effort into the pitching staff, but we hate to see Cookie leave, but he's got more important stuff to take care of, and so hopefully... Matt will come in and give us the boost we need. He's a guy who can probably come in against those real tough left-handed teams, Chico, to name one, and get some guys out.
When will he join the ball club?
I believe Thursday. He lives in Oklahoma City. I believe Thursday he'll join the team at home. So it's going to be nice. And, we don't want to jump the gun on anything, but Marty Jansen has contacted us. He's in Mexico right now. And looks like he may join our playoff roster and maybe be available to throw one start for us at the end of the year. So as you look down, things are looking semi-bright. You never want to jinx yourself in situations like this, but it looks pretty good right now, and we're pretty excited.
I know there's one other player who's been with the Pioneers off and on this year that may be headed to another ball club right now. That's Hiroshi Fujimoto.
Yeah, Hiroshi I got a call from Charlie Kerfeld today, and Hiroshi's just been doing some bullpen catching duties for us, and has been doing a great job. Guys love Hero. But Charlie needs a catcher. His Clark broke his thumb, and Arnson's caught 21 games in a row for him. And so they need some catching help. And Charlie, I told Charlie that Hero can really catch, maybe one of the best defensive catchers in our league, and that's what he needs. He doesn't care if he hits the ball at all. And I think Hero will go in there and hit 230, 250 for him and catch. So tomorrow morning, Hero's going to leave the team and go play for Chico. And I'm excited for him. He's got a good chance now either way of winning a ring. And I think with the Pioneers or Chico, I think it's great for Hero. And we wish him luck. He's going to actually catch tomorrow in Sonoma in a day game for Chico.
Manager Mike Littlewood, best of luck tonight. Best of luck and celebrate your anniversary with a win tonight. Thank you for being with us.
Sounds good. Thanks, Larry.
Three, two, one. Manager Mike Littlewood, you not only gained a game on Sonoma County, you leaped into second place with Yuma losing last night. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I haven't even looked at the standings because, we really at this point just want to take care of ourselves. And it doesn't, to us, the standings really don't matter. We want to keep pace with Sonoma and not let things get out of hand. I think we owe it to the other two teams in our league that are not in first or second place, Valley and Yuma, to keep playing well and try to beat the teams that are in front of them. So, it's more of just going out and playing well every night instead of thinking about, catching Sonoma or doing this and that, but just playing good baseball.
Talk about playing good baseball. Let's start with the pitching last night. Jeff Garf, that's a second good start.
Yeah, and Jeff, I wish I could have let him go the complete game, and I could have. He threw 120-something pitches. And going into the ninth inning, I thought, let's let him try to get the complete game and
I think he had 108 pitches going into that inning, and I thought, well, if he can get out of here in four or five pitches, and, you know, just if I let him go one more batter, it could be a 10 or 13, 15-pitch at-bat, and I didn't want him to throw into the 130s, and I didn't even want to let him go that ninth inning, but I thought, you know, he's got a chance, and he's throwing real well, and after talking to DG, who was catching him last night, he said, let him go one more, and so, yeah, I did. And DG actually said, let him go one more batter. And then I thought, I got to get him out of here, just simply because his pitch count was high. And also, JT needed some work out of the pen. And even to come in and get 10 pitches or whatever he threw, I think is going to help keep him sharp. Because you saw the first batter, he's a little bit sketchy, and then settled down and went right at him. So I think it was good overall.
For Jeff, the curveball was much better than it had been. And he has a good curveball normally, but it was excellent last night.
To me, just from the side, and I haven't talked to anybody, it looks like he's changing speeds with his curveball and changing trajectory and, you know, throwing some high, some low, and really mixing it up. And he was throwing it for strikes. The last four innings, I think he led off, you know, 90% of the batters with curveballs for strikes, and just did a nice job working ahead. And when he did get behind, he seemed to battle through it and get a key ground ball. You know, he looks like in a starting role, that's where he feels comfortable. He's been trying to talk me into it the whole year. But he's also understood that he's really – Jeff helped us win the first half out of the pen. I mean, you think of all the games he came in and helped us. The only – he's had two shaky outings, really, and those have been against Chico, and right almost back-to-back right in the middle of the season. Other than that, he's been really effective for us.
Let's talk a little bit also about the first run he gave up, Kevin Mitchell. He thought he'd thrown a pretty good curveball, and it was a former major leaguer that drilled it out of here.
He came in, Jeff came in after and said that was the best curveball I threw, and I said it was up at the belt. So different perspectives right there. I thought the ball was up in the zone. You know, I thought it was probably thigh high when he hit it, but it didn't look like Kevin put too much effort into that, and the ball went a long way.
Let's talk about the home runs on your side. Begin with Kendrick Wallace. You've been kind of working him against hitting a home run. He began with his first as a grand slam. That was pretty impressive.
Well, you know, lately he hasn't really been getting the bat head out on the inside pitch, and so actually the last couple times we've taken BP, we've really been working with him on getting the bat head to that inside pitch and not trying to inside out it. When the ball's outside, try to go to left field, but when the ball's in, try to get the bat head on it. Obviously that ball was hit well, and it was a key at bat. You know, he pops up there or strikes out or grounds out and gets out. It's a whole different game. You know, we're down one run, but taking a 4-1 lead in a second, that was the key at-bat of the night for sure.
Before we move on to that key at-bat, all four at-bats, he pulled the ball last night on that inside pitch.
And he hit the ball hard when he got doubled up. Just happened, if there wasn't a runner at first base, that would have been a double. Eric White made a great play on that after he booted a ball, misplayed it the pitch before. He happens to be right on the base, grabs it and tags the base, and they throw, I think it was Freddie out, but that's baseball. You know, you can play one ball terrible and then come back and make a great play, and Eric did it that time.
Let's go back to that key at bat, that grand slam home run. It looked like Sonoma County was very confident, but it got a little bit wishy-washy as far as their attitude after that at bat.
Yeah, you know, there's no reason for them not to come in to this game confident, winning six straight and sweeping Chico, and you know, which no matter where you play Chico, whether it's out at their place or at your own place or in the parking lot, they're tough to beat three games in a row, let alone just kind of snagging one from them. So, you know, they were without Gennaro and of course, Cooper, their shortstop's out. So their lineup was a little bit weaker, but still, I mean, to beat them is a feat. So coming in here, they should have been a little bit high. And I thought it was good of us to come back and just kind of shut them down, and hopefully we can do that the next couple nights.
Rod McCall, two-run home run, a solid double, solid single, then catcher's interference. He had a great night.
He did, and the ball that he hit for a double was the hardest ball he hit out of even the home run. It was 5 feet from the top of the wall, and a pitch that was down in the count or down in the strike zone. His first home run, we had a little miscommunication between Joe Trippi and myself with first third when Tim Belk hit it to the left. Originally, I told Joe, I said, because all Joe's really doing is he might look back and try to see when the ball's going to be caught. But at first I said, let's try it. And then you saw the left fielder take about 15 steps in. He kind of misplayed it. And when I saw him do that, I said, bluff. And so, you know, in the translation, whether Joe just heard the first thing and was going. But the guy made a great play, and Joe hustled. And so Rod's at-bat was actually key to come up with two outs right there and gets a 3-0 count and hits it out. So that was another key at-bat.
D.G. Nelson, his first home run in quite a while when he drilled that one over the left field fence.
He's been struggling a little bit. I don't think he's got too many bats that he really likes right now. He's got one that he's holding off till later in the season. We've got so many bats, but not the certain type that he wants, and they're a little tough to get in right now. But you have to make the adjustment. He's been doing a good job. He got a few hits at Feather River, and he's just the guy that is a presence in the lineup, just like everybody else. And there's not a better seven hitter in this league for sure. I mean, on most teams he'd be hitting 4-5, something like that. So to have him hitting that seven hole is a bonus for us.
We made comment about him being the catcher, too. It seems like every catcher that you use, Briones, Hayes, and Nelson, and Fujimoto before you let him go, each one of them seems to be a very positive influence on those pitchers.
Yeah, I think so. All of them have the communication skills to, you look at Hero, even though he doesn't speak hardly a word of English, he knows baseball. And all those guys, Jeff and DG work real well together. Jeff feels comfortable with DG back there, and certain guys like Chris. And so I try to accommodate that. And we're going to get Nate in there. Yeski, who's throwing tonight, we'll get Heath in there. And that it's nice for me because we keep everybody rested. Nobody gets dead legs out there. And, the pitchers can throw to who they want to throw to, and we'll kind of go from there.
I know you had a couple of errors last night, but you also had a lot of great plays defensively last night. And Freddy Diaz, once again, right in the middle of things.
Freddy's just played incredible defense. He had a little spurt there, I'd say a month and a half ago, where he booted every ball that went at him. And playing defense is just like hitting when it comes to streaks. You can play solid for 2 months, and then all of a sudden you're not getting the right hops. And like Kalen did last night, he just rushed himself into a couple bad hops and got what we call tweeners, which bounce in front of you, and you can't judge where they're going to hop up to you. But, I think that's what the biggest strength of our team is we play solid defense. You look at Robert Muir, I don't think he's had a throwing error all year. I don't want to jinx him or anything, but any ball that's hit to Robert, he's going to make the play on it. And so it's got to be nice as a pitching staff to know that if you make good pitches, have them hit ground balls, and most of the time fly balls, we're going to make outs.
We'll be back and talk about this game, too, with Sonoma County and look ahead after this timeout. 3-2-1. Manager Mike Littlewood, we mentioned you were going to go with Nate Yeski tonight. His first appearance ever was against Sonoma County, and he seems to be getting better each start.
We're going to try to extend him a little bit tonight, and hopefully not. We don't know inning-wise, but pitch count-wise, we're gonna let him extend, maybe up to 100 pitches, and we'll talk to Nate and see how he feels about it each inning, probably from the fourth, fifth on. I like right-handed pitchers against these guys. They're a right-hand dominant hitting team, and right-handers can come in there, and if we can use Chivers and Cena tonight. Rubel will be ready tomorrow night, but if we can use those guys, maybe if Nate gets in trouble in a key spot against a left-hander, they've got a left-hander that hits 8 for him. And, just certain situations, but we're looking for Nate to give us a strong outing, and he has. He's looked very good the last couple times out, so if he can just keep it going, we'll get another win tonight.
I know last time out he walked 6 batters, but he didn't miss the strike zone by very much on any one of those 6.
Yeah, the guy up in Tri-Cities was a little bit shaky. He was all over the place, and when he admit to me when I go out to the mound that he messed up on the last batter, that shows you that the 6 walks are probably not true to the fact, because he was right around the zone pretty much all day. He did lose it a little bit with 2 outs, and I think in the 4th or 5th inning where he walked 3 straight, but a couple of those pitches were still pretty close.
And he only gave up 2 hits, those in the one run scoring 5th inning.
What Nate does is when he gets in trouble, he'll really bear down and he'll make good pitches. He's an intelligent guy, he's a thinking pitcher, and so he's going to make an adjustment and maybe bear down a little bit harder when he gets guys on and pace himself when there's nobody on and things are going well for him.
Tonight you're matched against Nick Cast. One time he was in relief and you hit him like crazy. Another time he started, you beat him on a very close pitch ball game. Another time he beats Mike Smith on a very close pitch ball game. He's normally pitched very well against you guys.
Yeah, what he does too is he neutralizes the running game that we have, and because he has the ability to hang a little bit and decide if he's going to throw over to first and kind of reads the move over there. So our running game might be shut down a little bit tonight. And if we do run, we might do some hit and run and run in his face and just maybe do some bunting and try to move runners like that. But for the main part, we just need to go up there and swing it, play good defense, and just kind of go at it. We've always said that our team is a much better team against a right-handed pitcher, and that's not a secret. Everybody knows that. So it's going to be nice. It'll be a nice challenge tonight to come out here and try to beat a right-handed or a left-handed starter.
As we mentioned, at one time you did hit him well when he was on in relief. So there are those times that it comes around.
I think that the key with him is when he keeps the ball down in the zone pretty well. If he elevates the ball in the zone, and you think too, Tim Belk's in our lineup now, which changes the chemistry of our lineup tremendously. And Brian Graybeck's going to be back in, a good right-handed hitter tonight. So, we'll just see how it goes. I think I feel pretty comfortable. We've put up 59 hits in the last couple in the last four games. I don't see any reason why we'd be all of a sudden shut down like that.
You mentioned Brian Graybeck coming in. He replaces Freddie Diaz tonight.
Yeah, Freddie's got the flu tonight, so he won't even be at the ballpark. So Brian will play short. Kalen will play second base. I was going to give Kalen a rest tonight against the left-handed pitcher. But since Freddie's ill, we'll put Brian over there at short, and he'll do a great job at short. He'll make all the routine plays, and he'll even get to some balls that he probably shouldn't and make the plays on those. So we don't lose much defensively, although Freddie has been playing tremendous defense lately.
How is Brian's knee?
Brian, it's sore. He's torn his posterior ligament in his knee, which is one that runs across the back of the knee. And so, he's got a big brace he's got to wear. There's not going to be any further damage. It doesn't really inhibit him in any way except maybe left or right a little bit. So we'll probably end up giving him a rest here and there throughout the rest of the season and try to keep that knee strong for him. But I think he can go out and play.
It's been one of the advantages. You have enough bench strength now that you can rotate people, and enough ability you can rotate them through different positions.
Yeah, not number-wise, but guys who have the ability to play different spots. You look at it, we've got pretty much Kendrick on the bench tonight for us, and with Freddie not being here. But with the ability of Kalen to come in and play the infield, and DG can play third or first or catch or left. Heath Hayes can play third or catch first. We just have a lot of guys that can play a lot of different positions, so then you don't have to go with as many guys. We're probably end up, if we can get something's happening a little bit with Marty Jansen, he may join us at the end, so we need to finalize our playoff roster by the 15th. We may go one short through the rest of this month in hopes that Marty can come back and join us for the playoffs.
You mentioned Matt Rubel would be eligible. He's eligible now, but probably would not pitch tonight.
Yeah, we just barely activated him, so he's ready to go tonight. He just threw a bullpen last night, and we don't really know how sharp he's going to be. And so his first outing, I'd hate to put him in there in a real key spot with a new team and have him have that pressure, added pressure on him. He's a former big league guy, and he understands what's going on, so I don't think that's going to matter to him a whole lot. We would like to get him to where he's going to be real solid for us the last two or three weeks of the season.
Mark Fischota's back now. He's taking his two-game suspension, and he's out of that.
Yeah, I heard you had fired him from the radio, so I'm just kidding. Yeah, we're happy to have Mark out of the radio booth and back on the field. And it just gives you the confidence that if you have a close one- or two-run lead in late innings, that you can go to Mark. And, he's starting to get his feel back on the mound and lost it there for a couple outings, but I think he's got the feel back, and so he should be well-rested and ready to go.
Even when he's had some rough outings, he still has a 1.42 earned run average. That's pretty good for a closer.
It is, and against Chico, I know he's real upset. He gave up a run there, and the whole thing with him is his slider's his best pitch, and if he can come in and establish that and spot his fastball, he's pretty much unhittable.
Let's talk about one more thing in connection with this Sonoma County team. I know you mentioned the team wasn't concerned about quote-unquote Sonoma County until it was time to play. Now, you've got Sonoma County. What's the concentration like on the team? Are they exceptionally happy that they won last night, or is it just like any other win?
It's just like any other win. On the exterior, I think, anytime you beat the team that's in first place, I think that's probably an added little, boost of energy. But it doesn't really matter. I mean, they've got a lot of games to play, and like I said, they've been playing exceptionally well the last two or three weeks, and if they can sustain that, they're going to take first. If they can't sustain it, they're not going to take first, and that's pretty much the gist of it. And if they don't do it, they don't make the playoffs. So there's more pressure on them for sure than there is on us. We just need to go have fun and play, try to keep playing solid baseball. Where they're looking at, we need to win this game. Every single game they need to win. But Valley and Yuma also have to do their part, and if they're not winning their games, it doesn't matter what Sonoma does.
Key tonight for this game.
I think Nate to come out and have a solid outing. And again, with Brian going over to shortstop, playing solid defense there, and hopefully his knee will hold up. We think it should. But, to hit Cass would be a great thing so we don't have to put ourselves in situations where we have to run, because it's going to be a guessing game with him, I think, from first to second when we're running. And going up there and swinging it, not giving extra outs, defensively, and just kind of going up and playing our game.
One other thing. I know you mentioned that Kalen Folds was going to be playing tonight and you were going to sit him, but it looks like he's swinging the bat better right-handed than he had when he got off of that injury initially.
Yeah, and I'm just looking for an opportunity to get everybody a little bit of rest. Joe Trippi's the guy who we haven't really had a chance to do that with, and he's got a lot of energy anyway, and so until he says I need a day off, I'm probably going to keep him in there. All he's got to do is stand out on the grass anyway. It's softer than the dirt. So, that's all I was really going to do. And if we had the opportunity to get another, obviously you're not going to just take Freddie out if he doesn't need the rest. And so that's what we're thinking, is just getting Brian in. Because Joe seems to hit left-handers or right-handers the same. He hits them both well. But Kalen's going to do a nice job. We did move the lineup. We moved Kalen down to nine. So he doesn't have the added pressure of having to get on base right-handed every time right now. Until he gets back into where he's swinging it, then we'll move him back up.
Manager Mike Littlewood, thank you for being with us, and good luck tonight.
Thank you, Larry.